Stadium.
Basically, the car is on the 48-yard line of the football field right now, pointed towards the end zone to our right. Joey Logano, finish fourth. Let's get his thoughts.
Yeah, we're running out our top five coverage. It's Joey Logano, fourth last year in L.A., fourth here at Bowman Gray. You just said uneventful day, but how would you assess just...
All right, we'll go ahead and start with our post-race media availabilities. We've now been joined by our fifth-place finisher, Bubba Wallace. Bubba, thanks for coming in. If you have a question for Bubba, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll work to get a microphone to you, and we'll start with Jacob in the back.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Bubba, I know a lot's been made of this car on short tracks over the last couple years. What did you feel like it was like tonight, and did you feel like you were fighting maybe some of the same things that drivers have battled previously with this short track package in the next gen car?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, speaking from just my race, my perspective, our car was just okay. We were just okay all weekend. It's no surprise that the 12 was really fast, the 9 was really fast. They got something figured out with this tire, obviously, Martinsville. So, I got to dissect on what I need to do to be better to get the most potential out of the tires. That's been the biggest thing for me. But yeah, all in all, I think it was racy, you know. I mean, yes, we were using the bumper. That's kind of the only way to pass here and still with this car. The slams look egregious, but these things are tanks, and you have to send it off in there. My move on the 6, don't do that. I apologize for that. But just the bumps, like – just the hey, hello, I'm here, that still applies, but the guys, it's not like the 3-bump rule anymore. It's like a 3-bump and a slam. Like, hey, we got to go. So I don't know how to fix that part. I think we just have to accept that and take it for what it is.
You raced here in an East car back 12, 13 years ago. Yeah. The ambiance, I know, was a lot the same then. Did you feel that coming back here tonight?
I did. I thought NASCAR did a good job of making a show out of, which is exactly what they wanted for all this. But I think the pre-race stuff was really fun. I thought the fans were engaged. It was good. It was good from start to finish. The best thing about it is most of us in the room got a 45-minute drive back home, not a stay over in L.A. and fly back 6 hours, whatever it is. So all in all, it's a good weekend.
Dustin?
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, first weekend with a new crew chief, and you know, somebody you hadn't worked with before. So what's it been like this offseason, and what was this weekend like, and where do you go from here with working with Charles after a top five?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to start off the year and our relationship. You know, since the first day I met Charles, he's been super just on it, and willing to just bust his ass to figure out where we need to be better, and he's not afraid of telling you, like, I need to do this, I'm not afraid to tell him the same thing. So we have a lot to dissect after tonight's race. I think we're both on the same page that we were just an average car, that's not okay with either of us. So we got to regroup and refocus, and luckily the next short track is a little bit out. But all in all, just the communication side of it. You know, we were texting last night at about midnight after we shut down here, and just asked him, you know, how did your first day go? And he said, I thought everything went status quo, and I agreed. So there's some things that could be better, as always, but I think the first start to our race is really good. I asked him before the race, sitting over here in the pits before we were pushed out, I was like, are you nervous? He's like, no, not yet, but ask me next when we go to Daytona, he probably will be.
All right, I believe Jerry had a question.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires, .net, kind of for both of y'all. What did y'all learn out here? If we come back next year, did you guys have fun? Do y'all want to do this again? Or did you learn something that you can, you know, carry over, you know, if that does happen?
If we come back, Denny's going to schedule 10 meetings. So it'll be something. We'll have to worry about that in 365 days. So all in all, if we do come back, we just both said we were just average. So we got to figure out why that is and to just show up and be better, something with this tire. So I know I said earlier talking to Jacob, but me and this tire right now aren't vibing, and I think it's more of a me problem than a car problem.
We're going to go wherever they tell us to go, and we're going to like it. But I think overall I was really happy. I thought the atmosphere was fantastic. I thought NASCAR production did really well with kind of the whole pre-race and everything. So, made it feel like big event, and I thought overall it was a good exhibition preseason to our season coming up in a couple weeks. So, overall, I thought everyone did a great job with it.
All right. If I can get a microphone to Barry in the back and then to Bob.
Barry Richmond, Piedmont Broadcasting Corporation. And this goes out to both of you. I think you actually alluded to some of the debrief and things that's going to happen after this race. But 2 weeks, you've gotten started. Both of you kicked off the season good. Of course, great would mean a win. But, you know, the momentum's already started. How do you deal with the next 2 weeks to make something happen? Which normally it's back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a truly a good warm up because you don't have the pit crews. We have more practice than we have a normal weekend, but it still feels like an abbreviated type weekend. So I think it's just there's not a whole lot you can do to the cars, right? Once you get here, you're pretty locked in. So I think that overall, I think, you know, this is just kind of it's always been a way to, you know, build into our season. And so, you know, we get the next couple of weeks we'll spend the next few days kind of debriefing on this. He talked about the tire, you know, what can we learn from today's race that can apply when we run this tire again. So, you know, we'll put our brains together and see if we can't, you know, get a little better. Because, you know, I definitely agree, like he was saying, we're always the next best. You know, this is like Martinsville where it's like, the 9, the 12, just were better. And I'm the next guy in line or the next guy in line. It's just got to get over the hump.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is good. Hell, I finished my first clash, I think, ever. So that's awesome. Usually I'm wrecked on the last lap. It's nice to just carry this into Daytona. Obviously, we have a lot to just unfold and digest, like I've talked about. But, you know, with Charles coming in, you know, this is going to be the biggest race of his career, you know. And I think it's more for him to understand that and carry this and enjoy the little moments right now. But, no, we got to, you know, roll the sleeves up tomorrow, you know, for our meetings and figure out how we're going to win Daytona. It's the small victories that you can enjoy for a minute, but we got to focus on the big picture. And couldn't be more proud of the effort that we put in, you know, from how we started practice, how we qualified, and, you know, from the heat race to the main event. We nonstop worked, and that's what you that's all you can ask for. So just got to keep pushing and try to be the next best.
All right, Bob, is your question for both Bubba and Denny?
Just for Denny.
Okay, Bubba, all right, you're Bob. Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm out.
Denny, so from what you were just saying, did you, even when you had the lead or battling for the lead, you didn't feel like the car to beat?
I did in the first half. I just, you know, it's just as it goes on, it just seems like I lose a little bit of, you know, the juice that I had. You know, certainly I felt like the first half, I could just kind of maneuver anywhere I wanted to go. And a lot of people kind of learned from that. I could see, you know, difference in lines in the second half versus the first. But, I don't know. I just got to get a little better and figure out, like you said, just what kind of makes this thing go and what makes it go for the entire race, not just the beginning.
And you said that you'll go wherever they say the clash is. I'm curious, would it be better to come back here, but maybe in a few years rather than next year? Or do you feel like, hey, this was good enough, let's come back next year?
In no way would I want to minimize kind of the weekend that was. I think that certainly, you know, I don't want to say this wasn't good enough because I think, you know, they took, you know, a facility here that's been around for a long time and made it feel like a brand new one. And, you know, the fans obviously were very, very excited to see us, and they were enthusiastic. That, you know, we feed into that. And so it felt like a big event, even though it's not a points-paying event or anything like that. It still feels big. And so you want to go wherever can give you that feel and atmosphere. There's surely bigger venues and bigger cities to go to, but will you have this type of feel or not? That's really what matters.
All right, Mark, do you have a question? Okay. Dustin, can I get a microphone to Dustin?
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, first weekend working with Chris Gayle. What was the weekend like and what did it mean? And also, from an owner's perspective, first weekend with Charles and Bubba, and you know, that's somebody he's never worked with before, to kind of do get off to a start like this?
On the 11, you know, Chris is obviously someone that, you know, I've ran just a couple Xfinity races with him, but, you know, yeah, we're learning each other, and certainly it's a process. You know, we're not going to just figure each other out right off the bat, but, you know, I'm trying to do things as I did before, and he's trying to understand that, and but I also am trying to give him the full, you know, free rein to kind of do things however he sees fit as well. I mean, he got to this position for a reason, and so you got to always trust your leadership to, you know, to make the right calls, and, you know, my job is to drive the car and give them the feedback, nothing more. I'm not the crew chief, I'm not the strategist, nothing like that. You know, my job is to do it today and then go there tomorrow and tell them a direction that we need to work on. So, you know, that's really important, and I feel like it's getting off to a good start. As far as Charles, I truly believe he's going to be a game changer for 2311. He is special. All I can say is he's. I'm glad we found him, and certainly I think he's going to be, you know, taking that 23 team to the next level.
All right, Denny, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. Safe travels home. All right, we'll continue with post-race interviews. We've now been joined by our fourth place finisher, Joey Logano. Joey, thank you for coming in. If you have any questions for Joey, raise your hand. We're going to work to get a mic to you. Maybe not. I will say, hang on a second, Jacob.
Zero sense of urgency to get out of here, guys.
No one believes this is real. Not all at once.
All right.
Oh, I get some good audio.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it.
All right, this is a first. Jacob Salmon, Race Face Digital. Joey, you've been good at new racetracks the last couple of times we've done this until tonight. You came on strong at the end. What were you missing?
Yeah, I got damaged early in the race, like lap three there. Briscoe tried to get in, and we wheel hopped, and it kind of jumped the front of my car up and ripped the steering wheel right out of my hands and knocked the toe out about a half an inch. And I just plowed the whole first run of the race, and so that puts you in adjustment behind, because on the 100 lap break you're sitting there saying, okay, I was really tight, but is that because my toe is out a lot, or am I really that tight? So makes it a challenging adjustment, and really just kind of put us one adjustment behind. I wish I didn't get that damage. I think I could have, you know, maybe been in contention there. We had decent track position. Like, I was just on, you know, trying to manage where I was before the 100 lap break so I could still be in the hunt. And just had a couple of mediocre restarts where I just couldn't launch as good, and let a couple cars down in front of me. And then the long haul there, I was able to get a couple cars there towards the end of the race. You know, I was trying to position myself to where I was in the second row. And you know, you never know what happens on a late race restart at a track like this. So, yeah, I mean, it was just trying to, you know, stay semi-close and hope for a caution, which there never was. But overall, I'd say the race was pretty interesting.
For Blaney, as far as you coming from the back to end up second there, was that a case of maybe you had to use up just a little too much to get there, or just fading a little bit much at the end?
I got to top 10. I got to 10th before the break, and you know, I kind of got to like the top five relatively quick. Couple restarts went my way, and by the time I got to second, I saved a pretty good bit even to get to second, because I knew there was, you know, it might go the whole way, You know, and then it was just kind of like a game between the nine and myself, like who can save more right rear tire. And, you know, I just didn't quite have enough to lean on there at the end. I started pushing with like 25 to go, and I didn't have enough. And I was like, I kind of need some help by lappers, and I just never really could get there. I kind of just didn't have enough to lean on. But, yeah, fun coming from the back, and just not quite having enough. But, yeah, it's always fun when you can move forward like that.
Okay, next question. Hang on, Bob. Let's wait and come back for a second because you're gonna want video. Does anyone just need audio or a transcript for your answer? Anybody? All right, let's go to Zach next.
They all need audio, don't you? Doesn't everybody need it?
The fire department.
Just take a picture
here,
of us.
So we're working on it. Yes. Go ahead.
I'm gonna do a courtroom sketch. Is what I. But anyway, Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. What did you both of you guys feel like just about the atmosphere? Just the fans, the electricity before the race, and just kind of as it went on.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the atmosphere right now, the rest of it was really, really good. You know, I thought the pre-race ceremonies just was pretty cool. You know, the fans being right there, you know, it's what Bowman Gray is, right? You got the fans heckling you and saying whatever they want and saying you're number one in two different ways. And so, I mean, that's what Bowman Gray was built off of. I don't know if you got the booze I got, but, yeah, overall, I'd say, you know, it was successful, right? I mean, you look at when fans are cheering and screaming and those type of things, the driver's brands are being, you know, exposed to everybody, which is great, right? Like, everyone has a favorite or not, and you're passionate about it, and when you get everyone this close, I mean, you look at yesterday, these people hung out from the modified race all the way until the heat, you know, practice through the heat races. It was packed yesterday, and tonight was standing room only. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, the atmosphere was successful.
Yeah, I agree with Joey, you know, from the crowd yesterday who hung out for 3 hours from the modifieds to when we first got on track. You know, that's a lot of commitment and a lot of energy on the front stretch before we got going there, and that's what it's all about. So really, really cool to be here, and I'm happy that it was a good show for everybody. So looking forward to hopefully coming back next year. I don't see why you wouldn't come back. So hope everyone had a good time.
Dustin Lobino, JC, kind of building off that, like from the weekend overall, whether it was the racing itself or like you guys were mentioning the energy, how fun was this weekend?
I didn't win, so I didn't have that much fun. I don't really do it for fun at this point of my career. So, but I mean, it went better than I thought it could possibly go, right? You look at what the modified race was, and they were wrecking the crap out of each other, and you've seen, you know, some heat races were very aggressive, but I think you got a little bit of everything here, right? You had the restarts where everyone was, you know, bottled up, and I say they're, you know, bulldogging around, right? I mean, that's kind of what it looked like for a while, a lot of contact, and it's very entertaining, right? And I sat there and watched the LCQ, and I'm like, this is an entertaining race. Like, it's pretty good, and I'd say, you know, as the race went on, you've seen the top lane kind of come in a little bit, and you can start to, you know, kind of work some crossovers and stuff, and tire wear was real, right? I mean, at the end there, I don't think anyone was getting wide open, not even close probably. So you know, that was fun. I can't remember the last time I went around a racetrack and I didn't get wide open, right? It reminded me a little bit of the old days with the old car, which was a lot of fun, have that tire wear and that fall off to where it's, you know, you really got to manage your car and be a smart racer. We don't have that everywhere, so it's nice to see that Goodyear can bring that tire here.
All right, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, how about that? That shit came to me earlier.
Bob was the secret formula.
Yeah. Don't believe that. One for each. Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Ryan, did your tires just... Did you just lose grip as you were just from wearing him out to chase him down, or was Chase able to more save his to be faster at the end to get through traffic?
Yeah, I think he just had better drive off than me that whole last round. Like, I turned better and he had better drive off, so it was kind of a trade off. I feel like You know, I felt like our cars were kind of evenly matched. My car was better in one area and his car was better than another, but I feel like if you just swapped our two cars, I feel like the end would have, like, I don't think we would have passed each other. You know, if I was in front of him or if he was in front of me, I think we were pretty evenly matched. But yeah, when I started to go, I just didn't have enough right rear, and I'm like, oh shit, like I'm not gonna make this pass, right? Like, and I'm not gonna just bulldog him into him and get chased out of here with pitchforks. So, when it was time to go, I just didn't quite have enough, and I could turn really good, but I paid the penalty on exit to where he could just kind of keep the power down a little bit longer, and the right rears seemed to wear out more than right fronts, so it just helped him out just a little bit more at the end.
I thought, Bowman Gray, you're supposed to get run out of here with pitchforks.
I don't know what you like, but that's not something I want to do.
And you said there's no reason to come back for either of you can answer this or both. Do you think it's imperative to come back next year, or sometimes for some of these events that NASCAR has had recently, it's almost like the second year isn't as bold as the first? Do you wait a few more years and then come back?
You're going to pack it out. There's going to be just as many people here next year if you come back as there was tonight. I don't think it would lose any of its, like, luster. I don't know what you think.
I mean, from what I hear, they pack this place out every weekend without the star power of Cup guys. You know, the people that come here are just race fans. Like, they just like racing. And so, and the other thing, too, remember, like, it's not a huge stadium, right? So you pack it out, and it looks good, and the energy's real. And, like, it's not like you have this ginormous stadium and you get, you know, half or three-quarters of it full, right? Like, this is, like, standing room only is kind of it's a special feel. It's hard to get the ticket, which, you know, people want what they can't have, right? Like, man, a lot of people probably watch this on TV and you weren't able to get the ticket here because there's a limited quantity. You know, that you know, maybe next year they get the opportunity to get tickets, right? Maybe they'll say, man, I need to get on it. And as soon as they start selling them, I need to be on it and get them. Right? I mean, there's a little bit to be said about that as well. On the same breath, I would say it's very important for us to move things around. You know, we've seen the success of our sport moving to new racetracks, and I'm a big fan of going to new places and bringing the racetrack to the fans that don't typically get to see us because it's so hard to, you know, for a lot of people to travel a long ways to see our races. So going to new places is huge for our sport, and we've done that, right, over the last, you know, 5-6 years. We've added new racetracks quite often. So I think that's successful. You know, doing the same thing eventually gets stale, but I don't think that's going to happen here anytime soon.
All right, Mark, go ahead.
Mark Carroll, PRN. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the atmosphere now without the, you know, the flashing lights and the siren. I went up in the grandstands to watch the start of the race, and you could tell that over half the crowd are the regulars. And it was like the rest of them had to be vetted. Either you hardcore, you weren't allowed in the gate. I don't think I've ever had that kind of vibe at a Cup race where only the hardcore were allowed in the gate to watch the race. And I seem to feel that vibe. And did the drivers feel it? And Ryan had told a story when you're here as a Bandolero driver. Remember a 7-year-old kid that was a bird lover and gave you the bird, you know, every lap. I mean, are you conscious of those things? And did you feel that vibe tonight?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was neat to, you know, when you do intros on the front stretch, you know, and kind of park car, fans are right there, right? So it was neat to, you know, hear them cheering and, you know, supporting you. You know, there's not a lot of places we go where we kind of do that, where they're that close and that passionate, right? Maybe a lot of them, but for whatever reason, everyone wants to have their opinion heard here, right? That's in the stands, and that's awesome to me. You know, whether good or bad, it's awesome that they're, you know, they're there and they're wanting to interact, and that is a hardcore race fan, right? So, I didn't see any birds tonight by the fans. Luckily, my eyesight isn't as good, so I might have been shot some. But I just think it was cool, and it was cool for the fans to stick around, you know, for a good bit when we were doing interviews on the front stretch after the race. You could tell they were excited to be here, you know, and they were excited for us to come and put on a heck of a show, and they appreciated, you know, the race and things like that. So they're hardcore race fans, like you said, and you can't beat that anywhere else. And they've been like that here for, you know, how long has this place been around? 90 years. So, yeah, you'll have that, which is good.
Joey, how do you feel about the bye? Yeah, I mean, I, you know, like I said earlier, it was great. You know, I think, you know, when you look at whether it was yesterday, whether it was here in person, which was great, watching it on TV was great. You know, it's just, it's, there's not a bad seat in the house, which is awesome. And I think the fans, they build off of each other, right? I think like they, as they sit next to each other and they're that tight of quarters, and I'm sure they start jawing back and forth about who their favorite driver is, and everyone starts cheering louder and louder, right? We have such a unique sport, because when you go to, you know, a basketball game, you know, there's a home team and the majority roots for one team, right? In our sport, you know, there's 40 of us out there. So it's pretty wild to see, you know, the differences and all that's displayed on the, you know, driver intros. And, you know, I always say, as long as they're making noise, they make noise for me. So that's good. It goes both ways, but it's noise, and that's always good.
All right, Joey, Ryan, thank you both for coming in. Thank you for your patience, and apologize for the extra headache we most likely gave you. Safe travels home. All right, we'll now have Alan Gustin and Jeff Andrews join us from the race winning team. Come on.